Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day.
The medical doctors of the world tell us that fear is a very basic emotional response, and it may even be present in us from the time we're born. But I also know that many of our fears are learned. As we grow and mature, some of our fears spring from our inability to cope with the situations around us. Other fears arise because we don't know what the future holds. The future always has a sense of the unknown, and for many of us, that unknown creates a sense of fear. Still, other fears arise because of what has happened in the past. The things that have happened in the past, some of them seem to haunt us. They follow us like a shadow. They lurk in the background, and we wonder, can we ever be delivered from such fears? So I am sure that most of us have fears. Some of those fears are deeply embedded in our soul. Some may only be on the surface, but we do have them. My message today is about overcoming fears. To understand how to overcome fear, we will meditate on the scripture portion from Exodus chapter 4 and verses 1 through 9. Listen as I read that text. That's Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord has not appeared to you." And the Lord said to him, "What is it in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it to the ground." And Moses cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, "Now put forth your hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod again in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared unto you. And the Lord said furthermore unto Moses, "Put your hand into your bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, "Put your hand into your bosom again." So Moses put his hand into his bosom again, and he plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe you, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it on the dry land. And the water that you take out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. This experience that Moses had with the Lord should teach us how the ordinary necessities of life can be used by the Lord to overcome fear in us. Let's get the setting first. There was Moses with a nagging suspicion. God called him to go to Egypt and lead his people out, to bring them out of the land of bondage into the land of milk and honey. But Moses said, "They won't believe me." It may well have been true, as far as Moses could see. I've learned that acceptance is important to every person. And Moses said, "They're not going to accept me." And so that created in his heart a fear of failure. And he said, furthermore, "They will say, The Lord hasn't appeared to you." They may have said, "You just thought the Lord came to you. He didn't really." And so because Moses felt that they would not believe, he said, "I don't want to do it." He tried to protect himself from the rejection he thought would come. And he did that because rejection is devastating to any of us. His suspicion was grounded on his past experience. If you remember in Exodus 2, Moses would have delivered the children of Israel 40 years earlier. But apparently, he didn't go about it in the way that God had planned. When he tried to make peace between two Hebrews as they fought with each other, one of them said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Are you going to kill us the way you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" And so the thing that had happened in the past haunted Moses. Perhaps you too have a nagging suspicion that your plans won't work out right. Maybe you need support right now. Turn to God. He can support you and He can deliver you. But make sure that your plans are truly His plans. Moses learned after he made that confession to the Lord that God could use the ordinary necessities of life in an extraordinary way to help him overcome his fear. God said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And so the Lord used the first necessity. It was his shepherd's rod. God used what Moses had. He had his rod in his hand, and so God used that. God said to him, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground. And as we read, it changed into a snake. It was a miracle. That nagging suspicion began to fade into the background, and he became afraid of that serpent, that snake, as it slithered in the dust. And so now a new fear has suddenly faced him, the fear of this snake. But the Lord said to him, "Put out your hand and take it by the tail." Now watch and follow carefully. Moses stretched forth his hand, probably gingerly, and took it by the tail. And as soon as he took it in his hand, it became a rod again. I wonder if there's not a principle here that you and I ought to be sure to get. It took courage on the part of Moses to grab that snake by the tail. In so doing, he overcame his fear. Courage overcomes fear. To face a terrifying situation and win takes away fear. Fear is haunting, it's destructive. But by conquering the object you and I fear, as Moses did with the shepherd's rod, you and I too will find strength of spirit. Then God moved from the rod to the working hand. God had other uses for that very hand that held on to the rod. And so God said to Moses, "I want you to put your hand in your bosom." So he did that. And when he pulled it out, his hand was full of leprosy. Now, what good would a leprous hand do with a rod that can be turned into a snake? That hand became useless, perhaps even more than useless. It was a disability. As Moses looked in horror, I believe, at his hand, the Lord said to him, "Put it back into your bosom again." So Moses did that. And this time when he pulled it out, it was restored. It looked just like his other hand. The flesh was normal. Again, is there some principle here that you and I ought to catch? Yes, I believe there is. God showed Moses that he, Moses, had no power in himself. It was first the rod and then the hand. Moses needed to realize that to overcome fear, he would have to face the reality of his own inability. The ability of God would need to be powerfully evident in this task. Jesus reminds us of that important truth in John 15:5, where he told his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." When it comes to this hand of Moses, he needed to realize that even the members of his body were controlled by the Lord. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 6. When that happens, when the members of our body are controlled by the Lord, that will remove fear. That will remove fear from your heart when you know that God is in control so completely that He controls even the members of your body. Moses learned that, and Moses understood that. And then the Lord took yet one more necessity of life to remove Moses' fears. It is the quenching water. Moses understood the value of water. Water is very important in the life of a desert shepherd. This was the last resort. If they don't believe these first two signs, then you will take some water out of the river, God said to Moses, and pour it on the dry land, and when it pours out on the dry land, it will become blood. Ugh, how disgusting. Think about drinking blood. It's repulsive. Moses most likely knew what it was to quench his thirst by the cool springs of the desert. That water was quite different from the water of the muddy Nile. But Moses understood the importance of water. But turning water into blood? That was almost too horrible to even think about. You see, God was taking these common, ordinary necessities of life and erasing or dispelling fear by them. Moses saw how God can overcome fear. God was in the process of building courage in Moses' heart. Courage is the positive. Fear is the negative. Courage overcomes fear. Moses demonstrates the way to get rid of our fear. Tell the Lord exactly what it is. And then God can use the ordinary necessities of life in an extraordinary way to destroy your fears, just like he did Moses' fears, with the shepherd's rod, his working hand, and the quenching water. With those three things, God was able to overcome Moses' fear. But God wants to remove your fear too. And before he can do that, you must believe in him. You must place your faith in him. Then tell him what your fears are. He won't be shocked by them. He won't ridicule you because of them. And he won't reject you because of them. He cares about you and he loves you. Believe that he can help you overcome your fears, and he will. But you know something, my friend? God wants to remove your fear too. But before he can do that, you must believe in him. You must believe that he exists, and you must come to him in faith. Believe that he can help you overcome your fears, and he will.
Thanks, J. Mark, for teaching us more from Exodus. And thank you for being there. If you would like this teaching, or if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. I'll give you our information shortly. I love how Exodus teaches us that God is in control and he is at work. He always has been and he always will be. We can trust him right now, no matter what we are experiencing. And he might not do what we think he should be doing. Remember what happened to Joseph? However, we have the benefit of looking back at many years of history, and we see God is sovereign. His purposes will be accomplished. This is his story, and he is the author. If you are interested, we have a study guide for Exodus available. It is a small booklet designed to help you learn more from each of these lessons. We call it the Hope Herald, and if you would like one, all you have to do is ask. Here is how you can connect with us. One of the best ways is via email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA, 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. While you're there, please look around for more teaching like this. On our website, you will also find other resources available from Heralds of Hope. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. Thanks again for joining us for today's program. I encourage you to join us again next week as we continue our study in Exodus. We look forward to being with you then, and we'll leave you with a verse from 1 Corinthians 10. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Blessings to you as you glorify Him.